as we just sit here, bask in your presence, Lord. We're so appreciative of who you are. You are faithful when we are not faithful. Each and every one of us, Lord, straight from you this week, maybe even this morning, you are so near. You always have arms stretched out, waiting for us to return to you. We worship you, God. Give you praise for you. Love, Lord, speak to us through your word this morning. Lord, may it have meaning. Lord, may it have the direct outcome that you wish for it to have. Lord, increase our faith. Increase the measure of faith and grace that you pour out on each of our lives on a daily basis. Lord, we ask for it to be increased. Lord, we realize with that increase, Lord, there's responsibility that comes with it. Like we need water, Lord. Praise you, God. Love you, Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, who leads us into all truth. Praise your name, Lord. Feed us this morning. Feed us with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you guys have your Bibles, could you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, please? We're continuing talking about spiritual gifts. Again, I want to remind you, even if we can't identify which one it is or be able to define it, it's more important that we use it. That we use what God has gifted us, has given us to use. Last week we talked about motivational gifts. Motivational gifts are those that kind of sit or rest upon us. It doesn't mean that they don't ever lift or that they're never viable in our lives. It's just it's more likely than not when people get in front of us because, again, gifts are for other people. They're not for ourselves. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Motivational gifts are those things that motivate us, that get us up in the morning, that get our heart pumping, that we're able to, when we are in front of people, we are able to utilize God's Spirit in these different ways. This morning, we're going to now shift to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 list of gifts, and we're calling them manifestation gifts. Now, manifestation gifts are those things that manifest. They appear. They show up. They give a visible or audible evidence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Manifestation gifts will always show up where the gospel is being preached or where the gospel needs to be preached. It's important that we see that they're wedded together. If we divorce them from their intended purpose, then we will be doing these gifts in our own power and in our own strength. It's important that we understand that. And many of us have seen this. Perhaps many of us have participated in this very thing because we forget that God gives these gifts in order to attest to his greatness, to his good news. So, if you're with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're skipping three very important verses, not because they're not important, but just because we don't have time to go into them today. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So we're not talking about different Holy Spirits. We're not talking about different versions of them based on your belief system or your denomination or your background or anything like that. All of these gifts came and come from the same source, the Holy Spirit, who is part of the Godhead. Verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Just want to stay there for a quick second and talk about manifestation so that we get the understanding. The manifestation of the Spirit. To manifest means to appear, means to attest, as we talked about, to attest to the goodness, to the greatness of God and His Christ, His Son, and the good news that we can have a relationship with God, whereas once we were His enemies. So the manifestation of His Spirit. The first idea of this, as far as a list of gifts that are manifestation gifts, means that they manifest. They show up when we need them the most. They show up when we're in front of people. That person that's in front of us, or that group of people that are in front of us, need to hear from God, need the verification that God is true and that His word is true, in such a way that He uses you in one of these gifts that we're going to talk about. Let me give you a very practical example that we find in Scripture. Jesus said this to His disciples in Mark 13:11. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that this demonstration, which is also another definition for manifestation, this demonstration is not just when we are arrested. I believe He was talking specifically about that, but universally, these manifestation gifts show up as the Holy Spirit deems it necessary. And when we speak, whether it's to our neighbor about the goodness of Jesus Christ, or our coworker, or heaven forbid we are imprisoned for our faith, the words that we speak are not our own, they are from the Holy Spirit. Now, two ways of looking at this. This either horrifies you or it frees you. It horrifies you because you have no control. You have no control. Now, that's not to say you don't have control of what you're going to say. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. You certainly have control of your vocal cords, your mouth, your tongue, the sensory perception of your brain that tells your mouth and your tongue what to say, what to do. You have control of that. However, you don't know what to say. That is in control of the Holy Spirit. And that's scary. That's scary to go into a situation and realize I can open my mouth and God can fill it. Or we overplan it. We overdo it. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, well, you got it. Go ahead. And it's usually not as anointed. Doesn't mean that it's not from God. It doesn't mean that it can't attest to God. However, we're working in our own anointing instead of the Holy Spirit's anointing. I want you to stare at this picture on the screen. Some of you maybe have seen this before. Do you see these four dots? I want you to stare at those while I read definitions for manifestation. Don't look at me. I know I'm good looking, but look up at the screen, those four dots. Manifestation means a visible expression. It means a public demonstration of power and purpose. Manifestation means to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. Manifestation is not just when the gifts manifest themselves. When those gifts manifest, when we look at those gifts, we see Jesus. Jesus appears. Jesus manifests Himself into a situation. That is what is important. He shows up. Outsiders or the uninformed, we're going to look at the scripture at the end, fall to their knees and say, truly God is among you. Not truly Dwayne is among you, or Sean is among you, or Dana is among you, or Debbie's among you. Truly God is among you. These gifts are to attest to His power, His strength, His signs, His wonders. That's these gifts. Let's continue to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll read verse 7 again. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, the visible expression, the public demonstration of his power and purpose that he is going to make evident or certain by showing or displaying. And it is given for the common good. Verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom or the word of wisdom. To another the message or word of knowledge. To another by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another miraculous works or powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits or discerning spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another the interpretation of the tongues. If you are an underliner in your Bible, if you like underlining scriptures, underline verse 11. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. Not just who he determines, but as he determines. A motivational gift is something that I believe rests on you, something that you operate in all of the time, and certainly we can get better at. Certainly the frequency can change and increase, but manifestation of the Spirit, maybe he uses us frequently in these, or maybe he chooses to use us one time in our lives, or somebody in our lives he uses with this in order to minister to us. It's as he wills, as he desires, as he determines. He's the boss. We're not. So let's go through these. Word of wisdom, or message of wisdom, means to receive supernatural revelation of insight into the divine will or purpose of God, insight in how to respond to problems and situations. Word of wisdom. Now, it's important that we understand that wisdom is different. This is word of wisdom or message of wisdom. And it's different than just wisdom, being wise, understanding how to work out problems and having being a wise sage, if you will. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given you. If you lack wisdom, ask, and it will be given to all without finding fault. So that means God's wisdom is available for everyone. Do you see that? But yet, he clearly said what we just read, that the gift of wisdom, the gift of all of these manifestation gifts that we're covering this morning, are given to each individual as he determines. We can operate in God's wisdom because it's available to all of us. And as we lack it, we should ask for it. It probably should be a prayer we're praying every day. God, give me wisdom to go through the things that I'm going through, to go through my day, to wake up in the morning. Give me wisdom. This is a little bit different. This is a word of wisdom. It's when you have supernatural revelation, because it is a revelation gift of what to do in a certain circumstance. Turn with me in your Bibles. Keep your fingers in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3, please. We'll read it quickly. Here's a great scriptural example. 1 Kings chapter 3. Maybe many of you are familiar with this story. It's about two women that come up to Solomon. Solomon obviously was more wise than any human being that have ever walked this earth, except probably Jesus Christ. And so he's not only has wisdom because he's asked from God for wisdom, but he is also going to speak a word of wisdom into a situation. Now, two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "My lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone. There was no one in the house but the two of us," so there's no witnesses. "During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son that I had born. The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son, the dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours, the living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead,' while this one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword to the king. He then gave the order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other." Now we think, wow, that is horrible. Thank you for reading that, Sean. Really appreciate it. Verse 26, the woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave his ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother." It's a word of wisdom. He, in the moment, was told by the Holy Spirit what to do. And it's very drastic, obviously, but he was able to discern between the two stories because there was no witnesses. That's a word of wisdom, is when you're able to speak into a situation the very words of God, something you did not know beforehand. You were able to say, "This is how you work this situation out." That is a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, or message of knowledge, means to receive a spontaneous knowledge of facts or details, past or present, about a person or situation that has not yet been discovered through natural inquiry. In other words, nobody told you this. Have you heard the phrase, when somebody's prophesying, they read your mail? Have you heard that before? It's talking about this. They received word of knowledge. They knew things about a person that they couldn't have known, other than possibly reading their mail or looking into their situation, which of course is not the case. It's important that we understand that knowledge is different. Knowledge is available to everyone. We all obtain knowledge the more we read Scripture. The more we're around people, the more other people pour into us with their giftings. Knowledge is also universal, not just scriptural. We can obtain knowledge by other books, by websites, by other people, by learning how to sow, how to reap a harvest field, whatever the case may be. We can learn and therefore have knowledge. So knowledge is different than a word of knowledge. The gift of the word of knowledge, a revelation gift, is given to each individual as he determines, just as the word of knowledge is as well. You are able to speak specifically into a situation because of knowledge you did not know. Here's a biblical example. Acts chapter 5. If you remember, what was going on in the book of Acts was a very special, unique thing. They had a special, unique calling on their lives as a church. They assembled together and they were selling all of their property and bringing all the proceeds and putting it together. This is not normative. This is something that was special for them. I take that back. It is very normative. When you sell something, bring in all the money into the... I'm kidding. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet, just as everyone determined to do. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?" Peter had no way of knowing that. Maybe you could argue, well, it was a smaller amount of money than what his property was worth. Maybe. No, it was a word of knowledge. It was something the Holy Spirit told him, that he was lying to the Holy Spirit. And you know the story. Ananias drops dead. Sapphira, his wife, comes in and asks the same thing. She holds back information. She drops dead as well. So don't lie about money. You'll drop dead. Gift of faith is the supernatural ability to believe God for something without human doubt, unbelief, or reasoning. This is awe-inspiring to me. Have you ever been around somebody that is gifted with faith? They believe everything is possible. And it's more than just they believe in theory, is they live their lives and make decisions based on that. Of course, just faith is different. Faith, we learn from Romans 10:17, comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, that it is a prerequisite, that every time we hear the gospel, we must have faith in it. So every Christian, by just definition, we have faith, every single one of us. Scripture says that he gives us a measure of faith. All of us have a measure of faith. This is different than just believing that God is, and even different than believing he's capable and that he has, and maybe even that he will do it. The gift of faith is participating with him in what he is doing. It is a power working or sign gift. Again, it's given to those as he determines. When we come across a situation, when somebody is in front of us or a situation is in front of us, God will gift you with this manifestation of his Spirit, overwhelming faith, power working faith. Biblical example is Peter and John when they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer in Acts chapter 3. Remember the man who was paralyzed that was laying there that was begging for alms from the time he was born. So all of his life, everybody that walked by to go to the temple saw this man. And of course you might be saying, well, isn't that healing? Healing is the next thing. It obviously is coupled together, but it took faith. An amazing amount of faith to say, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up. Here's somebody who's never stood up in their entire life. Having that faith that I heard from God just now through his Holy Spirit to tell this man, to command this man to stand up and walk, that is the power of faith. Of course, when he stood up, healing came forth as well. Here's the gifts of healing. To serve as a human channel in administering divine healing and restoration of health apart from natural means. Now I put apart from natural means in italics for a reason. Every definition I come across says that. In my heart of hearts, that seems very logical to me. Apart from natural means. Faith is apart from natural means. Wisdom, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge is apart from natural means. Nobody told me this. I had a word of knowledge. I had a word of wisdom to speak into this situation. It was the manifestation of his Spirit to attest to his great power. However, we struggle with this with healing. And I admit, I do as well. God heals in divine healing. We know that. I think some of us have witnessed that. Whether somebody laid on hands or they didn't, that you pray and suddenly they're healed. That God did this. That they didn't maybe even go to a doctor. Maybe they went back to the doctor just to get a second opinion or to verify the healing. But it wasn't anything that the doctor did. It was divine healing. Then we also see that he uses man as human instruments. We'll go into the various ways that he does that. Through gifts of healing, we see that this is a manifestation gift. And he gives gifts to men. So these are gifts that he uses us in order to heal, and we see that throughout Scripture. But I want to ask you guys a question. Does a physician using medicine fall into this category? And it's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you to shout back at me or anything. Just think about it. And let me just say, I don't know fully the answer to this, and here's why. I believe that physicians are called by God. Now, some of them aren't. Some of them get into the profession because they want money or whatever the case might be. Their motives are wrong. But I this is just something that I think I believe. Let me put it that way. I think I believe this, that for the most part, physicians feel this calling. They want to work with medicine. They want to open people up. They want to see blood. They want to be a part of helping people who are sick. I don't know about you. I don't want any part of it. And then there's others that the calling that I feel on my life, they don't want any part of as well. And then you guys have different callings that are different than mine and different than the doctor's. So we have that part going. Then we need to ask the question, is being a physician a gift or a talent? If there is even a difference. And if there's a difference, maybe we could say a talent is still given by God, I believe. But it can be worked on. It can be honed. It could be learned. It could be practiced in such a way that we become good at it. Whereas a gift is also from God, but particularly manifestation gifts, he gives them as he wills. And we can study all day long. We can pray all day long. If he doesn't want us to be used in this certain way, he won't. So I have no definitive answers for you, just something to think about. Let me ask you this. When we pray for the sick, and then do you still believe they should go to a doctor? There's been things in the news over the years where there's some churches that teach you should not go to a doctor, and sometimes those ministers have been brought up on charges because those people die. I don't know the answers to it. I know this much. We're so used to going to a doctor that we don't even go to the great physician. So I don't know the answers to everything. I do know that we are programmed to go to the wrong person at first. I believe that God can tell us and does tell us to go to a physician. Again, I believe that this man or this woman, even if they're not saved, which you may or may not agree with, have a calling on their life, and that God can gift them, that God can give them the ability to heal, that their hands can have healing in them. But is that the same as this manifestation of gifts of healing, being a power-working or a sign gift? I thought of a story that maybe gives us a slight difference. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 5, the story of the invalid waiting by the pool of Bethesda? Very quickly, there was this pollinade of huge amount of people that were crippled and blind and lame and paralyzed. They're all laying, and they're waiting for the stirring of the waters. King James and New King James and NASB, I believe, all say that an angel comes and stirs the waters. Some of the newer translations that come from actually older, more trusted documents, by the way, doesn't have that. Regardless, both have that this man who is an invalid for 38 years was waiting beside the waters. Jesus comes up on him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" And he says, paraphrasing, "How can I? Every time the waters are stirred, somebody goes in ahead of me. And here I am left not healed." And then he asks him again, "Do you want to be healed?" And Jesus says, "Stand up, take up your mat, and walk." Maybe what we see here is two different avenues. We could say both by God, both from God. One is medicinal. One is, I've read commentaries where the stirring of the water was medicinal in a lot of ways, that there was different properties in the water. I don't know all of that, but it seems like it takes time. Somebody needs to help you into the water. This water is something that even by God is a process. And then also God manifestly comes and heals in the name of Jesus. Get up, take up your mat, and walk. Perhaps that's the difference. But I do believe that this manifestation gift is more the latter than the former. Get up, stand up, walk. Some of us have the gifts of healing. Notice that it's plural. It's the only one that's plural in this list. It's gifts of healing. Could it be encompassing both, what we talked about, through medicine, through things like that? Most medicine, I realize now today, is not natural. It's man-made, but medicine was intended to be natural, so it's still put here by God. Could it be both medicinal and manifestation? Maybe that's plural. Or maybe it's various ways that God uses these gifts in man's life, and I'm just writing down some for us to think about. He uses men to command the sick to arise, walk. Peter and John, Jesus himself did that very thing. We see that throughout the book of Acts. He uses the laying on of hands and anointing with oil. James says, if any are sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church. They will lay hands and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. He uses articles of clothing from a man, Paul's handkerchiefs and aprons we see in the book of Acts. Obviously, we see telemarketers take this too far, and if you give $50, we'll send you a healing cloth. That's not what God intended. Or he uses even the shadow of a man in the book of Acts. Peter walks by, and just his shadow touches somebody, and there's healing in the shadow. Unfortunately, we as people, as human beings, are conditioned as such to praise Peter for this instead of praise God for this. Instead of saying, truly God is among you, we say, truly Peter is in our midst. He uses bizarre things. Do you remember when Jesus healed a blind man by spitting in mud and rubbing it into his eyes? Craziest thing I've ever heard before in my life. That is literally the craziest thing. Or you see in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, I believe somewhere around chapter 5, Nathan tells somebody with leprosy to go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, that's bizarre. We see those kind of things in Scripture. Maybe that's the plurality of gifts of healing, that God manifests his manifestation in different ways. Working of miracles is the next gift we come to. It means to serve as a human channel through which God can perform acts which transcend the laws of nature. These are other manifestations besides healing. This obviously would have to go hand in hand with the gift of faith. You'd have to have just this enormous abnormal amount of faith to believe that this mountain will move. Yet Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, these manifestations happening, these are obviously power working or sign gifts. They attest to his gospel. They never attest to themselves. It's important we see that. All of these gifts. The problem with the Pentecostal or charismatic church as a movement for centuries has been we embrace them as themselves and not as they attest to God's power in his gospel. We're so caught up in, ooh, JT prophesied. Ooh, Heather just raised the dead. Praise God for that. But if it's not saying, and this is why Jesus is alive, this is why Jesus is alive in you, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives within you. This is raising the dead, parting the Red Sea, turning water into wine, all of these things that go against nature. I've never been used this way. If you have, I want to talk. Prophecy brings us back to prophecy. We talked about this last week from a standpoint of a motivational gift. If you remember, prophecy is the only one listed. That doesn't mean it's the only one, because again, these lists of gifts are not exhaustive, I don't believe. I don't believe Paul is trying to line out every single thing all in order. I think he's naming things quickly. But prophecy is the only one that shows up in all three lists, so it can be a motivational gift. Something that's with us always that motivates our other gifts, that motivates our thinking. Remember we talked about prophecy is very focused on the message itself. Teaching is focused on revealing the truth of that message and making it understandable. And then exhortation would be taking that message and applying it to your life to just dumb them down. They're obviously more multifaceted than that. So prophecy is to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance. It's a communication gift, and it's meant to communicate comfort, encouragement, to guide, to warn, or to rebuke. So we talked about it as motivational, kind of spurs you on. Manifestation is when God wants to manifest himself, manifest his power, show forth his glory in that moment. Boom, he drops it on you, and you prophesy, you speak forth. This is really important that we understand this, though, and we're going to get into that. I believe, this is my own understanding, that prophecy is when the revelatory gifts are communicated to people. What are the revelatory gifts? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, which is the next gift in the list. These are revelations that we receive, and when we speak them out to an individual or individuals, we are prophesying. It's an urgent message from God. Again, go back to, we've heard the terminology, he read their mail during prophecy. Prophecy is the speaking out of what God reveals to you. You don't always have both, I believe. I believe sometimes God reveals things to you so that you will pray. You're not meant to prophesy it. You're not meant to speak it out. And if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell us that. He's just showing you. He's showing you so that you can pray, or so that you're not caught off guard. He's just showing, he's just revealing it to you. Or he's revealing it to you, and then he tells you, prophesy this. Speak this out. Now, prophecy, again, encompasses all the revelatory gifts, I believe. And we have a few warnings that I want to give. Gave one warning last week that I want to repeat. But this is the most important for manifestation, because manifestation is God wants to show himself and show his glory right now. In the house when we come together, or out in the community, he wants to show himself, and so we need to have some warnings. First of all, it is super, super easy, or it becomes easy, rather, to say, thus saith the Lord. Now, obviously, that's the King James translation of it, or another way of saying it is I believe God is saying this. Or not even saying I believe, just God is saying this. Or God says, can I just warn us that if we know that the Holy Spirit is saying this, yes, please, say it. Otherwise, be very careful. Be very careful. I've seen people who overuse this. And here's some of the ways they overuse it. Number one, I don't think there's any evil intent in their heart. I don't think they're trying to do anything to harm others. However, their motivation is wrong. Sometimes. Hear me. It's not every time. I want to make that very clear. But some of the time, people say, we say, thus saith the Lord, so that we would have credence to what we're saying. The same way as somebody in charge, as one of the pastors here at the church, you could kind of technically say, I'm in charge. And I've heard this before. People will drop my name. Sean said it's okay. Sometimes they should, because they did check with me first. That's great. But part of doing that, we're saying the same thing. God signed off on this. You better be sure God signed off on that. Because you just invoked God's name. Wait. God's name. Right? That's one thing. Another thing is, how do you argue? Well, God told me. Well, I have nothing to say then. How do you argue with it? Unless it's very clearly you can argue from Scripture. It can't be, because Scripture has to line up with prophecy for it to be from the Holy Spirit. You can do that. But if it's something like, God told me to go across the street, okay, go across the street. I can't argue with you now. You said God. So let's just be careful. That's just something I want to throw out there. Let's be careful when we use thus saith the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:32, we read it last week. Remember that people who prophesy are in control of their spirit and can take turns. It's not just you're in control of your spirit in that the Holy Spirit comes over me and I can't control myself. So if I hit you, if I say a certain thing, if I dance a certain way, I had nothing to do with it. It's all the Holy Spirit. That's not what Scripture says. Likewise, saying, well, I say thus saith the Lord because that's the message that came into my head. We hear from God first. The revelation comes from God first. It's important that we understand that. Then we speak it out and it becomes prophecy. We are in control of that. Both ways. We can either be in control of it so that it is in order and in God, or we control it to where we don't do it and we stifle it. We have to be careful of both. Here's a quote from Bernard Shaw. Liberty means responsibility. That's why most men dread it. Isn't that good? We have freedom or liberty in the Spirit. We do. And we don't want to quench that spirit. We don't want to box up that freedom that we have and become slaves to the law, slaves to men, slaves to tradition, slaves to what we did last week. We don't want to be that way. We want to have freedom in the Holy Spirit. But freedom in the Holy Spirit brings more responsibility. So I'm not trying to be mean up here saying, you can prophesy, but be careful not to do this and not to do that. Because Scripture says that. I'm just echoing the words of the Holy Spirit through Scripture. Discerning of spirits is the next gift that is listed in Romans 12 that we read. Before we go into that definition, I want to talk about there's three types of discernment. And we can't get it confused. Natural discernment is available for every person, saved or not. Sometimes we call it good judgment. Maybe you've heard women's intuition. Women seem to be a little better at it than us men. They're just a little bit smarter. Brownie points? Spiritual discernment comes to a believer as they grow in Christ, His Word, and as they develop a sensitivity or an ear to the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us, just like wisdom, just like knowledge, we can obtain spiritual discernment. Every one of us do not have to be caught off guard. We can discern between right and wrong, between truth, between true and false. We can discern these things. But this gift, the gifted discernment, discerning of spirits, is to know whether the source behind behavior is divine or from God, human or satanic. To serve the church as watchmen, you're looking out. Your watchman on the wall, as the Old Testament says, to identify supernaturally what is not truth. It's sort of like spiritual discernment on steroids. It's another level. It's not just you're looking out for yourself, you're looking out for the church, big C. The church you're a part of, but also the body of Christ at large. You are a lookout. You are somebody that God is wanting to manifest Himself through in order to show the church that they are in danger, not just yourself. Real important. Don't let this be confused or turn into criticalness. Guys, that is not from God. That is a spirit. It's a spirit of criticalness. It's from Satan. And so often we can be critical of others and just say, well, hey, it's my gifting coming out. No, it's criticalness that's coming out. It's something that needs to be stopped. It's from your flesh. It's from the enemy. And it's masking itself. Acts 16 through 18 is a great biblical example of discerning of spirits. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Now you read that and you're like, wow, she's got it. I mean, I want people following me like that, right? I mean, get people's attention and they've got the word from the Lord. Verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. He discerned that it was an evil spirit. Scripture says that the enemy can masquerade or put off the image of an angel of light. That he can appear to be wholesome. That he can maybe say the right things, but it's coming from the wrong source. Discerning of spirits can see that. Why? Because that's what God wants to manifest in that moment, in that time. The last two that are part of this list in Romans 12 is gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. In 2 weeks, we will discuss that. Again, as I said all along, tongues are very misunderstood and maligned and overused and all of, so it's both underused and overused all at the same time. It's too much to talk about in one Sunday. So we're going to talk about that not next week, but the week after. Could I have Pastor Robert come up to the keyboard, please? I want to end us with one scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 24 through 25. He is trying to distinguish between the gift of tongues, which we'll get into, and prophecy. And he says this that I believe will hopefully open up our understanding of the manifestation gifts and why he wants to manifest himself. It says, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, again, Paul is trying to show the difference between tongues and prophecy here in this moment. So don't take it as just prophesying. I believe, my own personal opinion, that you can say any of the manifestation gifts, you can replace prophesying. That if an unbeliever or inquirer comes in while people are getting healed, while miracles and manifestations of his spirit in various ways are happening, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. That's the reason for all gifts, but especially manifestation gifts. And why I say especially is because the manifestation gives power of the Holy Spirit. And we can get drunk on power. We can think it's about us. We can think we somehow earned it, that we're something special, that God chose to use me to reveal his power. And suddenly it's not about him, it's about me. This reminds us that if somebody prophesies, if a manifestation of his spirit happens, and there's somebody around, comes in to the congregation, or comes around you when you're walking down the street and this is happening, that God can deal with their heart through this. Why? Because it attests to his power. It attests to his gospel. And either literally or figuratively, they will fall to their knees in worship. They will say, truly, God is above you. You stand with me. Spiritual gifts and not actually operating them, do you? I remember one New Year's Eve, this church, we wanted to pray for 4 hours. We met at 8 and we wanted to pray the new year in. And we also wanted to bring some instruction on prayer as well, kind of just to exhort the prayer time. What happened was it was 3.5 at least hours of instruction and teaching on prayer. And we're like, oh, it's almost midnight. We better pray. And I think we're guilty of that. We talk about it. We study it. We want it, but we don't actually participate. Let's pray. Father God, we want to participate in these gifts. Lord, we don't want to just make mental assent. We want to apply them to our lives. Father, we're asking that you would administer your manifestation gifts to us as you deem worthy, Lord, as you deem the right time, the right person to carry this gift, the right person to receive this gift when they're before us. Lord, that you would orchestrate things this week, Lord. We're not talking about when we've reached a certain spiritual maturity. No, this week, Lord, that you would line up occasions where we would just out of faith, Lord, out of the abundance of the faith that you give us, the measure of faith you give us that day, we would allow your power, your grace to manifest through us, through these gifts. Lord, I pray that you would take away all fear. You would take away all selfishness. You would take away any motives, Lord, that are not yours. Lord, you would equip us. You would empower us. Clothe us with power from on high, Lord, to make a difference in our homes, with our wives and our husbands, with our children, Lord, to attest to your power at work, in the grocery store, in the marketplace, and pumping gas. Lord, you want people to be healed. You want people to be set free. People to know your good news. You want your good news to have very verification, to have proof to others through your gifts. Lord, help us just as